Good morning, brothers and sisters. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to spend a little bit of time in the Word, and I'm going to give a short reflection on it, and then we're going to spend some more time in prayer together. But let me read. This is from Matthew chapter 6, and I'm reading from the NIV. I'm going to read from 25 down to 33. And it reads, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food? The body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not reap or sow or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field, they do not spin or labor. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and the Heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and these things will be given to you as well." Let me pray. Our Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity for us to gather together, Lord. We are so blessed that we can come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord. We can come together and we can spend time in prayer and in song and, Lord, in your word and hearing you speak to us through it. Lord, I thank you for this beautiful passage that we've just read this morning, Lord, for the way that it speaks to the heart of who we are today, thousands of years after it's written. Lord, I just pray that this morning you might continue to open our hearts and our minds to its meaning for us as your children, for us as your people, and what it means for us to follow you in this way. Lord, help me to speak truthfully and clearly of your word. And we just pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. So like I said, just a short one this morning. I'm going to jump straight into it. This section comes as part of the Sermon on the Mount, which is in Matthew, and kind of the longest block of unbroken teaching that we have of Jesus. It's likely to be some bits and pieces of different teaching along the way, but this beautiful unbroken block of teaching from Jesus, which covers just about everything, about all aspects of life. But one of the main themes it starts with is talking about this idea of the kingdom, right? It starts with, doesn't it? "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then it goes on to say all of the other, you know, "Blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, blessed are the cursed, the humble, the persecuted, all of the ones for whom you expect to not be the inheritors of the kingdom of heaven." Jesus flips it on his head and goes, no, those ones for whom you thought were the cursed and the outcast and whatever, theirs is the kingdom of heaven, perhaps even more so than you educated elite Pharisees or whoever it was he was speaking to at that particular time. This idea of kingdom kind of hangs heavy over all of the teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. And by the time we get to our passage today, we get this beautiful practical teaching on what it means for us to be kingdom people. This beautiful practical teaching of what it means in day-to-day life to be a people that are the inheritors of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. "Don't worry," he says, "about food, drink. Don't worry about clothes." Even he says, "Don't worry about your life, your very life," he says. "Do not worry about." Now, as I was reading it and thinking about this week, I'm like, well, they're the things we worry about the most, actually, isn't it? Like, they're the things we literally, what we worry about, provision. We worry about the food, clothes on our back, roofs over our head. We worry about our life. Perhaps we worry about these things more than anything else. And these are the things which Jesus highlights and says, do not let them occupy the space in your mind. Do not let them occupy that place in your heart that worries about all of the things in this world. In fact, he says, look at the birds. Look at the birds of the air. They do not know where their next meal will come from. They don't know if the next day there will be enough seed. They don't store away and keep it in barns and, you know, whatever, worry about what's it. No, they go out and every day they search for food and God provides for them every day. There's not birds dropping dead left, right and center. If it was a few bush turkeys that went, I'd be okay with it. But do you know what I mean? Like the Lord provides every day for them. So how much more? How much more will he provide for you? What a beautiful sentiment that is, isn't it? For us, he's saying, you know, those daily things, those things that we worry about daily, those daily provisions, you know, paying the bills, the mortgage, whatever it is, he's saying, don't sink all your energy into that. Don't sink all your energy and time into worrying about those things. The birds are okay. You'll be okay. Will not I, the Lord, look after you more than they? He says, don't seek those things first. Seek kingdom first. And he says, look at the lilies of the field. God clothes them in beauty and splendor. How much more will he clothe you? This is an interesting one I was thinking about this week, the idea of clothes. You know, we live in a time no one really is worried about having clothes. We all have clothes, far too many clothes. If you don't have clothes, people give them to you. People are always giving away clothes because they've got too many clothes. Like there's not people walking around in rags, is my point. But once upon a time, there was people walking around in rags because they didn't have clothes because clothes weren't plentiful and cheap like they are today. And yet, right, even though we don't have to worry about clothes, we still worry about clothes, don't we? Even though we never need any more clothes, we still worry about the clothes we have. We worry about the clothes that we wear, about what it says about who we are. We worry about the clothes they're wearing and what that says about them and then what that says about us compared to what they're wearing. You know what I mean? Like we've managed to find ways to worry about the clothes that we wear, even though we never really need to worry about these things. And Jesus says, do not worry about these things. Do not worry about the clothes that you wear. Your clothes are not the things that define you. Your clothes are not the thing that gives you worth, gives you value in the sight of others. Don't worry about what you wear. Worry about the kingdom. Seek the kingdom first. And then he says, do not worry even about your life, about when the time will come for you to return home. Now, when I was younger, that was easy. I never worried, hey, that's, you know, life's infinite, isn't it? It just goes forever. You never think about it. You never worry about your life. No, no, no. But as you get on, well, maybe that becomes more of a concern, you know? You start to think about that a bit more. A friend of mine who was my kind of childhood friend, about my age, one day went to work, dropped dead of an aneurysm. It was a couple of years back, left his kids behind, a horrible thing. And that worries me. That worries me. When I didn't have kids, I didn't worry as much, perhaps when I was younger. Now I've had kids, and now I worry. What would happen if, you know? There's a new worry that has entered my life as I've got on a little bit further. The Lord says, do not worry even about your life. Even about that, do not worry. You cannot control your time. When your time comes, it comes. You can have lived the most healthy life you ever, and then your time comes and there's nothing you can do about it. You know, we've got a grandma or a great grandma of the boys that smoked a pack a day. She's still alive. She's, you know what I mean? Like, you don't, it just happens when it happens. You know, you can't control it. Don't worry even about that. Our time will come when it comes. But he says, if you seek first the kingdom, if you seek first the kingdom, then not even death is something for you to worry about because death has lost its sting. Death has no victory. As Paul writes, O death, where is your sting? O death, where is your victory? On that day, we will be raised up in life, and we will be given the bread of eternal life. We'll be given living water that never ends. You know, the food that we worry about every day, we'll be given the eternal version. We will be clothed in the resurrection. You won't need to worry about what we're clothed in. All this will be anew. this week, I was thinking about what am I going to bring today? Which we're doing, we're trying to be able to do something a little bit different. What am I going to bring today? And I really did feel like this was the message that that the Lord was bringing me, was seek first the kingdom. And then when I looked it up, I found it attached to this passage about not worrying. And I was like, that's it. Seek first the kingdom of God. This is a word for us, I think. It really is a word for us. All the worries of this world, the anecdote is, the antidote is to seek first the kingdom. Seek the guidance of God in your life. Seek his teachings first on how to live and how to see the people around you and how to see the world around you. Seek first his value system of what he tells us is truly most important on life. And when you seek first his kingdom, the rest will fall into place. That's the point that he's making about the birds and the flowers of the field. When you seek first what's important, the rest will fall into place. You won't need to worry about them. So what I wanted to do today, and part of why I thought this was the right message for today, is I want to open a bit of space for us to seek the kingdom a bit more. I want to open some space for us to come before God in prayer and to seek his word for us, to seek his leading, his guidance, give an opportunity for someone perhaps even to speak a little bit of a prophetic word into our lives, to spend some time in prayer in the spirit, meaning just letting God kind of guide where your prayer goes. So this is what I want to do. In a moment, not yet, don't jump up. I know you're really enthusiastic to get up. Just hold your horses. I'm going to get you guys to move around. I want you to find someone whom you don't know or don't know well and spend some time in prayer with them. That might sound a little bit intimidating, but it's not, right? Because we're brothers and sisters, yeah? And we came here today, not just to see what happens up on the stage, but we came here today because we're family, and what family of God do is they encourage and they pray for each other and they minister to each other. The power of this church isn't behind the pulpit. The power of the church is the people in the seats as we sit here. So I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage older people, could you find someone younger and pray with them? I'll let you define who's older and who's younger. Because one of the beauties of our gathering here is that it's intergenerational, and we have young people and we have old people. And that's one of the beauties of the family of God, is that it's diversity, and we're blessed by that. So I want to encourage you to do that. If you're a younger person, find an older person. If you're an older person, find a younger person. Older people, can you pray for young parents? Because we need prayer, right? We need it as much as we can get. Can you pray for the parents of kids that the Lord might guide us in how to raise our kids to know him better? Can we pray for those kids that are out there? Can we pray for the young adults that meet here on a Sunday night? Can we pray for those who come onto youth group on a Friday? Can we pray for these people that are part of our broader church that we don't see as much, but are of huge importance? Can we open a bit of space now for us just to be led to whatever it is that God is leading us to pray for? So my encouragement is this. Find someone for whom you don't know or don't know well. Pray with them. Don't spend a whole heap of time talking about your list, what you're going to pray for. Maybe just mention one thing each. Maybe that'll do. And just let the Spirit guide our time of prayer. All right, you've got your assignment. Let's go. Let's spend some time in prayer together. Up you get. Move around.